Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. My grandma used to save her pajamas. Yeah, I know that's an odd sermon opening, but it's true, you heard me correctly, she saved her pajamas. She would save nightgowns, robes, any kind of sleepwear, really. These weren't old, raggedy pieces, either. This was brand new stuff. In her drawer, there would be pajamas and nightgowns that still had the tags on them. These were birthday gifts and Christmas gifts from years past that never, never saw the light of, well, night, I suppose, but you know what I mean. My grandma Joyce loved this kind of stuff. She was always so excited when she would open a box of coordinated sleepwear. And I don't think she was pretending. She would open it up and she would be, oh, this is just so beautiful. It's almost too nice to wear. So into the drawer it would go. She used to tell us that she was saving these for a special occasion. Even after my grandpa passed away, this was still her line. None of us were brave enough to ask her what this special occasion was. In this morning's reading from Luke's Gospel, we're confronted by maybe a familiar but odd story of Jesus' baptism. It reminds us that Jesus was baptized just like many of us were, or maybe someday will be. And that is pretty cool. But it's also kind of confusing. Like, why was Jesus baptized? Usually when we talk about why we baptize folks, whether they are young or old, the thing that we focus on most about baptism is that it's about the forgiveness of sins. Right? Most of you have probably heard that before, correct? Somebody did a good job in confirmation once upon a time, long ago. Right? This notion that baptism, this bath that we take, this sprinkling, this ritual cleansing signifies that we get freed from all of the stuff that separates us from God. If sin or brokenness or whatever word is helpful for you to think about the estrangement that we have between us and God, then baptism is the thing that frees us from that. It is given to us as a gift, the resolution of the problem, so to speak. Then why, though, is Jesus baptized? I mean, if Jesus is the Son of God, and if Jesus is without sin, like nerdy church folk have been saying and arguing for millennia, what's with the whole baptism of Jesus thing? Why do it? You get the sense that the gospel writers aren't even quite sure what to do with this moment. It happened, but why? The way Luke tells it, Jesus' baptism seems to be something that just kind of happens. Like John the Baptist isn't even explicitly named as doing the baptizing. He's just kind of hanging around. But the thing that does take center stage, the thing that shows up in this big, powerful way, is the Holy Spirit descending in a bodily form like a dove, resting on Jesus, and then there's this voice from heaven that says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And that seems to indicate the baptism is more than just the forgiveness of sins. It's also an adoption. God is laying claim to somebody. Naming and claiming. God lays claim to the baptized. God says, you are mine. That seems to be what God is doing in Jesus' baptism, and it's what God does for you and me as well. God looks on us with love and says, you are mine, my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And I think that part of our belovedness, that truth of our belovedness, functions in our lives in two different ways. Often when we think about this, when we talk about baptism, it is this alternative story of hope, a promise for all the ways that the world tells us that we're not so great. Baptism is a story of hope that says, despite all of your shortcomings, despite all of your failings, your missteps, you are still and forever will be God's beloved. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you've done in this life or will do, God will love you forever. But there's another part too. And that's the part that challenges all of my attempts to strive and achieve. There's a part of baptism and my belovedness that challenges all the ways that I think I'm pretty awesome. It's a check on all of that. It's a reminder that you're not beloved because of all of that. You aren't beloved because you've achieved great things in this life or do the right things or perform well or pass all the tests. You are beloved simply and only because God says so. That's enough. You are declared a beloved child of God because God sees you as being worthy of love. You are forgiven because God sees you as being worthy of love. You have value and worth because God says so. No matter what you've done, no matter what anyone else says. Toward the end of my grandma's life, we kind of got wise to her pajama shenanigans. We said, Grandma, look, you're 80 years old. It's time to enjoy the pajamas. There's nothing to wait for. They're a gift for you to use, for you to wear and enjoy. Stop waiting. Just put them on. And I think God is saying the same thing to us in baptism. In baptism, you've been given this incredible gift, a new identity that isn't bound up by what the world thinks of you, or even what we think of ourselves. You are worthy. You are worthy of life and love. You are worthy of dignity and purpose. You are worthy to be called a child of God. Because in Christ, you are God's beloved. And that allows us to live a little differently in this world. Maybe to walk a little more confidently, to serve a little bit more gracefully, to love a little bit more generously. Dear ones in Christ, you have been clothed with God's love and God's mercy. You don't need to wait for a special occasion. Put it on today. Amen.